I've been a political organizer and been paid for it since 1987. Actually, I was getting paid for that particular job. I've been an organizer as long as I can remember. And I think it started when I was about 3 or 4. Does anybody remember the show Kimba the White Lion?
Yeah.
Remember that show? It's about a lion who organized all the other animals in the jungle to stop developers from developing.
Yeah.
As long as I can remember, I've been an organizer. And in fact, at college, I grew up in Ohio and went to Kent State University and majored in political campaign management. And my master's thesis was writing a political campaign and then running a campaign for state representative. Unfortunately, we lost, but it was 48-52 against a white male incumbent Republican in the Bible Belt with a woman who protested Vietnam and had 8 children. So we thought we did darn well. One piece you were asking about, real quickly, about precinct, what's the job duty of a precinct captain, et cetera. As Sandra was mentioning, I'm the House District Captain for the House District 5 in Denver County. I'm also the person who's redesigned our field strategy. And we've developed something we call the BOD Captain Program, Block Building or Business Captain. And I've got some materials I'm going to get to Arshad to get to you. We've actually written a job description for a precinct captain. We have a job description for a block captain. We have a whole list of materials that we can get to you. I just want to make sure we get the appropriate ones so that you can have what you need, which will kind of spell things out for you. What I'm going to talk to you about today is raising money. So there's 3 resources, as Arshad said: people, time, and money. And you can have a lot of people, and you're always going to have 24 hours in a day, but if you ain't got the money to get your message out, you're going to have a lot of people. Let me put it that way. So if people, you know, we all know this, we've been digging into our pockets for how long to make copies, to buy markers, to buy poster board. And at some point, you're going to need some resources to actually get the message out to everybody you need to get the message out to on the campaign. So in your workbook, if you turn to page 53, thank you. Page 53, you kind of follow along there. I'm going to do things in a little bit of a different order, but I want to touch on all the things that are in the workbook, okay? First piece is, if you're going to run any campaign, well, let me ask you this. When you're running your household, for those of you who are running your household, you know, what's the first thing you need in order to decide where to spend your money every month?
A budget.
A budget. As the Cheshire Cat said to Alice, if you don't know where you're going, any road will do. Really important that you have a budget for your campaign. Why is it important that you have a budget for your campaign? You see how much you can spend where? Exactly. So it's important to have a budget for your campaign so that you know month by month how much money you need to fulfill on your goal. If you're electing a candidate, it's 50% plus 1 vote to get that candidate elected. If you're working on getting an initiative passed on the ballot, it's X number of people to get to the polls to vote for that initiative. If you're looking to raise money for a local candidate, it's getting money for that candidate. And the question then is, what do you want to spend the money on? So in this area, I heard somebody say it's very rural. How do you go? You can't knock on every door. It's not like Denver where I can literally get through 40 or 50 houses in an hour. Can't do that here. So how do you get the message out? Well, one thing you could do, which always seemed to work in other rural areas because people really appreciate it, is you could get on your bike and start riding your bike door to door. You could get in a car with another person and start driving your car door to door. With the price of gas these days, you're still going to need money to put gas in that tank. So the question is, how much money do you need to get your message out? And there's a number of different ways you can get your message out. But it doesn't matter how you're getting your message out, you still need money to operate your campaign, don't you? Putting gas in your gas tank, buying poster board and markers for a rally, whatever it is, you're going to need some funding. When you're creating a budget, my recommendation is to create 3 budgets. One is your bare bones budget. What is the minimum amount you need to get your message out there? That's heavily relying on in-kind donations, heavily relying on word of mouth. You know, heavily relying on, what's your first name? Charlotte coming in and answering the phone so I actually don't have to hire an office manager. The other complete opposite end of the spectrum I would devise is what I call, well, the bare bones budget I refer to as the Yugo budget. And the other end of the spectrum would be the Cadillac budget. If you had all the money in the world to win this campaign, what would you be doing? Would you be doing radio advertising? Would you be taking out ads in a variety of different newspapers, not just, was it the Gettysburg Gazette or Times? Gettysburg Times, But, you know, would you be doing other ads in the union paper in the area? In other, do you guys have weeklies for your different neighborhoods? In Denver, we have that, like, there's a Tribune that's just in my neighborhood, it's my little neighborhood weekly paper. Much cheaper to advertise, people are much more likely to look at the ad. So you want to look on two ends of the spectrum, the Yugo and the Cadillac budget. Bare bones, and what would you do if you had all the money in the world? And then you want to develop a budget that's right in the middle. I don't know what you would call that budget. The Subaru budget, maybe, or something like that, I'm not sure.
The Pontiac budget,
there you go. But that's the budget that you can live with. Now, how do you figure out how much money to spend? How do you know how much money to spend where? That's a question for you. By the way, this is interactive, and it goes much better, and I'm much more, you know, it's much more interesting for you. Yes? See what was spent in previous campaigns. Absolutely, yeah.
I want to say something also, that I think that as Democrats, we can look at, like, I think with the V campaign, one of the things that really kind of, I don't know if this is the appropriate discussion right here, but one thing that really irritated me towards the end of it was that we found that he was in debt for things that he spent, you know, on. But I think for me, I think you don't have to tell me to spend that much money. As Democrats, we could be more efficient with our resources.
Yeah, and I think that's the bottom line, is you want to be extraordinarily efficient with your resources. Okay? You want to look at what previous campaigns spent. You could ask the people who ran the previous campaign to show you what they ran. You could look at budgets of other campaigns that are running the same type of campaign, a state house race or a state senate race or a congressional race. How many staff did they have on? And talk to the people who ran those campaigns. Was it an efficient use of money? Should you have had all those people on staff? That sort of thing. Then the other piece that I want to speak to is, this may tick some people off, but that's okay. I personally never, ever, I budget for it because my candidates love it, but I think it's a waste of time to put up yard signs.
Not here.
Okay, that's what I said. Some people might not appreciate this, and I appreciate what you're saying. I think it's a waste of time because if I can spend money on a brochure with my message to get to every single house where someone's going to pick it up and read the information about my candidate, that's much more effective than putting my candidate's name on a yard sign when I have no time to explain why this person should support that candidate. So if I'm going to prioritize my budget, I'm going to put money in for a yard sign because I don't know any candidate that doesn't want yard signs up with their name on it to get the information out there. But that's one of the last things I'm going to do after I'm looking at, do I have enough money to print a brochure? Do I have enough money to do whatever other advertising I want to do, if it's radio airtime, which is much cheaper, obviously, in any neighborhood that you're in? You want to start prioritizing where you want to be spending your money in your budget. You can base it on previous campaigns. You also want to talk to people that have been involved in those campaigns at the same time. The other things I wouldn't spend money on, nail files, sponges that when you drop in water expand to show the candidate's name, fans. I'm a fan of Jennifer Kogan with a big, you know, hand. Some people like to get those. For example, in Denver, that's a great way to get information in the local black churches because the candidates always go to all the black churches. That's something that's targeted towards that particular demographic group. If you're going to visit senior citizens, you may have something specific for senior citizens. I don't know what that would be, but again, you want to prioritize that spending. I'd rather hand anybody a brochure about my candidate than a fan saying I'm a fan of Jennifer Kogan, because the next Sunday when it's not so hot out, where does that fan go? In the trash. So it's been a waste of your money. The other piece that you want to do after you do a budget is you need to do a cash flow estimate, just like you would for yourself in your own personal home. How much money am I spending month to month? Do I have to pay the tuition for my kids' college this month? So I got a bigger nut that I have to get in the month of August when I know tuition's coming due. Or is my car payment due? Or is my insurance due? That's once a year for my homeowner's insurance. Just like you would for your personal budget, you need to do a cash flow estimate for the campaign. And based on your strategies and tactics for winning that campaign, we'll be able to tell you how much money you need on a month-to-month basis. Closer to the campaign, you may need additional money because you have more people now going door-to-door, so now I have to buy folders and materials for my packets and clipboards and pens for people. Farther away, you're going to want to look at what kind of materials do you need to produce. Am I producing a brochure? Am I doing other kinds of flyers, posters, anything like that? And for sure what you want to do when you're talking to your printers is see if you can print everything in one fell swoop. That way you can get a price discount if possible on those printers. What are some of the other things you would spend money on for a campaign?
I have kind of questions.
Okay, I'm going to hold off on questions for a minute, okay?
Well, it ties into this.
Okay, hold on 1 second, though. So just hold on 1 second. So what else would you spend money on a campaign?
Research.
Research. Tell me more about that.
General opposition research, different where to put up signs.
The research and where to put up signs. I would say that if you don't have to spend money on that, you shouldn't need to. With the internet these days, people's ability to be able to research things, you should be able to use Google and other sites to be able to research anybody that you're running against. There's also ways that you can find out who they've given to you before, opensecrets.org. You guys know about this website, opensecrets.org. You can look up individuals by name to see who they've given to. You can also look at other campaigns to see who's given to that campaign. If you've got a lot of money, spend it on research because you always have to look to see what am I spending my time on as a campaign manager and what can I afford to have someone else do right, do quickly. But is that at the expense of printing a brochure? And then in terms of where to put up signs, it's one of the things I actually have my precinct captains do. One of their pieces of their job description is to scout their turf. Not only counting houses, not only counting businesses. In Denver, in my particular house district, there's a lot of apartment buildings that you can't get into. So I asked them to figure out where those apartment buildings are, but also who are the businesses we could approach to put a sign in the window? What are the corners to put up, the big, huge wooden signs that sometimes people buy, that kind of thing. You had a question.
Well, the question was about the email / your question about what are the things we need to find on the website. I was going to ask you, with email, how does that work with the domain?
I'm not following.
Cyclists for Congress, those kinds of things, how do they, Cyclists for Congress?
So what you're saying is you're asking if you spend money on a website,
And how much would you budget for that rather than to email campaigns?
Rather than for email campaigns in terms of using email as a tool to raise money?
Not to raise money, but for like a big word out about your campaign.
I think you have to look overall, again, what's worked last time. So the question is, would I spend money on a website? Would I spend money on cultivating email lists, donor lists, that sort of thing for a campaign? I think you again have to look at what used last time in a campaign that worked. You also have to look at who you're targeting. There are some areas that don't have access to email, that don't have access to computers. So using an email list isn't always effective at, first of all, we're looking at an email list for raising money. For your campaign, I think any campaign these days, it's $8.95 to purchase a domain name, $8.95. I'd spend that $8.95 to purchase your domain name. You also might want to purchase the other domain names that look kind of the same, because if you actually go to, I think, whitehouse.com, the porn site, right? So if they did change it, well, that's good that they changed it. And then there's any number of people who would want to donate time to develop the website for you. You shouldn't have to pay for that. I can tell you, I was at a meeting, I was the political director for Congresswoman Diana DeGette in Denver County, and I happened to be at a meeting, and this woman was, complaining that she called every campaign, nobody ever called her back. And I said, give me your phone number. One of, she was a usability expert for websites, figuring out how people use websites and the right way to approach them and so forth, and she redesigned our entire website for free. And then she was able to connect us so that we could do the links and the blast emails and that sort of thing. And then we spent a very little amount of money to get that information out there. But I'm not talking about getting information out. What this piece of the workshop is about, how do you raise money to get money in. And you can spend some money on emails to raise money, but number one, the return rate's very low. Same with the direct mail campaign, it's usually 1% for the list that you have out there. And it, can come back quickly, but the amount of the contribution, it varies, all right? I'm going to go over, I'm going to ask you all to hold your questions, okay? Write them down for me. I'm going to go through everything that I'm going to cover, and then at the end, ask the questions, because I may be covering what you're asking, And then everybody can take all the questions, because I have a very short period of time, and I want to make sure I get touch on everything that I have to touch on in this piece of the workshop, and I will leave a lot of room for questions at the end. Okay, so just write down your questions, and I'll get to them at the end.
Then you want to know what you should pay for.
I'm going to answer your question.
Oh, the things that you're paying for. Okay, good. All right. Go ahead.
I was going to say maybe marketing research for newspapers, how much circulation they have in the area, and different types of media outlets.
So marketing research on what are the newspapers. That's one of the things you're saying you could pay for. Marketing research, what the publications are, their demographic breakdown, that sort of thing, in order to take out advertising.
You might be able to find that for free.
Yeah, definitely you can find it out for free. In fact, if you call any marketing department for a newspaper, they're going to want to tell you how much their ads are because they want to sell it to you, and they'll tell you the exact breakdown. This is a great way. I think our son are doing volunteers after this.
Yeah.
It's a great way to utilize volunteers, particularly as you were, it's what I call bringing people up through the leadership ladder. You have somebody who shows up, you don't really know, can I count on you to get 10 posters out or not? So you first give them 10 posters, they get out, they put them out, then they come back and go, okay, I'm done, what next? Okay, now I want you to take these three people, and you and those three people are going to go out and put up posters, and they come back and say, I did it, now what next? And sort of bumping people up, giving them more responsibility. One of the things you can do for people that aren't interested in being at the door face-to-face, don't like calling, is to have those people do research, have them make the calls to the press. It's also for any person who's interested in ultimately getting involved in politics on a paid level. Let's say their interest is press. Great way to get their foot in the door with the press. What you want to do is get on their Rolodex. First thing you can do is get in the door of the marketing department. So that's another thing you don't necessarily need to pay for. I wouldn't put that as priority one. Yes?
Yeah. Here in Pennsylvania, we have a problem. If we elect a challenger to a state legislative position, state legislators have a fund which they use for public service announcements. They get free taxpayer-funded TV and direct mailing. In your opinion, how do we overcome that as a challenger? I mean, they get that fund, that taxpayer-funded mechanism.
I'm going to leave that to the end.
Okay.
So I want you to stick with that question and leave it to the end. Yes, ma'am.
A lot of things on a campaign you don't have to pay for, like website marketing, volunteers, of doing canvassing and that sort of thing. But some of the things I do know that's pretty much you will have to spend on, if you have a campaign headquarters, normally you have to pay rent, you have to pay the telephone bill, that's a given. Then there's other things, like I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, so when we campaign, we go to a lot of events. You got to have something to hand out.
Yeah.
So you got to pay for that material. And we're in a union town. So if you don't have that union bug on it, then you can't distribute this information.
Right.
So usually it has to go to a printer. A lot of stuff I could have made, we made ourselves, but it didn't have that union bug on it, so we couldn't produce it in mass because it didn't have the bug on it. So you have to pay for stuff like that. But a lot of things you can get by without paying, and especially if you're with Democracy for America, a lot of what I got on my campaign or simply from people who were with Democracy for America, with my computers, my website design, the domain, people who helped me with my petitions, they even donated money to me with actually people who were with Democracy for America.
Yeah, I think there's some basics that you want to pay for on any campaign. For sure, the first thing is you don't have to pay for staff, don't. You know, use yourselves as volunteers, reach out, but if you have to pay for staff, because, you know, any campaign, normal campaigns have a campaign manager. Anywhere from $2,500 to $4,000 a month, depending on how much experience the person has, where they're from, how significant the race is. Other things that you want to pay for are brochures. Materials that she's talking about, buttons, bumper stickers, things that if you're going to be doing a lot of events, because that's how you get the word out, there are certain things you want to pay for. You want to get as much given to you in kind as possible. That's your Yugo budget. On the other end of it, the Cadillac budget, you may be spending money on marketing or opposition research. I think you can get a volunteer to do that. And what I'd rather do is spend money on another piece of material about education targeted to parents with kids in my community, because those are the votes I need here in Pennsylvania, because I only live in a precinct or a county that has 30% registered Democrats. So the first thing I'm going to do, if I'm going to spend money on something other than the basic brochure, is I'm going to produce another piece of literature at a targeted group of people. I'm going to pay for my mailing list. That's another thing you're going to have to pay for, is your mailing list. You may have to pay for matching phone numbers to names or email addresses to names. So those are some of the other basics that you definitely are going to have to budget for. Okay, and as I said, you want to create a cash flow estimate, month-to-month cash flow statement, so you can see not only how much you're spending, but how much you need to raise over the course of the cycle of the campaign. Now, if you go back to page 53, the question then is, where are you? Oh, the other thing you want to do, besides the budgeting cash flow estimate, you need to have some way to track the people you're contacting. So if you don't have somebody who's really great, you know, you can use an Excel spreadsheet. You can use, I usually use ACT, which is a contact management software. Here's the old-fashioned way, index cards. Index cards. That's back in the day what we used, index cards. Every potential donor got an index card. Every time somebody called them, you'd mark down when you called them, left a message, said would give. Then you'd put in a date by when to follow up. Really simple, really cheap, really cost-effective, and it works. And then if you've got somebody who's really smart and can set up an internet program, a computer program, something like that for you, great. And in this day and age, we can do that. But if you don't have that, index cards work perfectly. You alphabetize it by last name. You can have dates set up of when you have to call the people back. Okay? So those are three basics before you get started. Have a budget. Have a cash flow, monthly cash flow statement of where you need to spend your money and by when, and a way to manage all your contacts. Because what fundraising is about is about lists. It's about names. You should assume that everybody you come in contact with, anytime you're out representing Pennsylvania for Democracy or, you know, whatever candidate you're working for, whatever initiative, is a potential donor. They can give a dollar. Everybody can give a dollar, even down to the, you know, kid on the street who can do a lemonade stand for you and raise $20 on a Saturday afternoon. Everybody is a potential donor to the campaign. But if they can't give a dollar, they can give an hour. So you want to be asking everybody for everything all the time. And one thing you'll find about me is I could probably sell anything to anybody, anytime, anywhere, and I have no shame in asking anybody for anything. I used to run door-to-door canvasses for the PIRGs, for the public interest research groups, for years and years. So I love knocking on doors. I don't like being on the phone, because Sandra and I are of the same thought that way. So the question is, once you have your budget, you know how much you need, who do you ask? And again, if you look at page 53, there's this great bullseye, the fundraising bullseye. Kind of gives you the rings of people that you want to be asking. The first people to ask are going to be the easiest. It's your family. It's your closest friends. These are the people you want to start practicing on. If you're shy about asking for money and you feel a little bit nervous about asking for money, ask your husband or your wife first, or your brother and sister, or your mom and dad, assuming they align with you on whatever political, you know, party that you agree with. I don't know, Sandra would ask her dad necessarily, right? But start with your family and your closest friends. If you're working for a candidate, it's not just you as the person who's the volunteer coordinator or the manager of that campaign, it's the candidate's family and closest friends. The key thing about face-to-face asking is it's hard to say no to somebody face-to-face, isn't it? When you're talking to somebody and they're a close friend and you're saying to them, look, you know, what we're trying to do right now is actually raise money. It was a Bob Casey Jr. who's running against Rick Santorum. Because Rick Santorum is an embarrassment to our state. He spent more time talking about penalizing the evacuees from New Orleans when these people are devastated by a personal catastrophe. And he's got to leave. Appealing to somebody on that basis, if I'm talking to Mary, my sister, about that, Mary, I don't care if you live in New York. Let me tell you about this guy. It's going to be hard for Mary to say no to me. Face-to-face is also the quickest way to get money, because you can ask them by when they're going to write the check, and that's important. One of the downfalls of any campaign is you don't ask enough people, and you don't do follow-up. And campaigns end, and all of a sudden checks come, because people realize they didn't write the check that they had promised to write to you by such and such a date, and you didn't make the call because you might have been embarrassed or concerned that you weren't pressuring them too much, or I shouldn't call and remind you. But in fact, I need a reminder call. I need reminder calls about everything. I need reminder calls for my mom to remind me to call her once a week and give a daughter to talk to her once a week. And she's great about it. So people need to be reminded about things because we get caught up in our day-to-day lives. You know, Arshad was talking earlier about taking the kids to soccer practice in school. day-to-day life intercedes in what I just committed to giving to you. Also, ask people for a lot of money. I say be shameless in your pursuit of the almighty dollar, because we should be shameless in our pursuit of changing the way this country is run and the issues that affect us, shouldn't we? Therefore, I say be shameless about asking for money. When I used to go door to door for the purse, I would ask everybody I talked to for $1 a week, $52 for the year. Because then they knew I was serious about it. And what you have to do is just nod your head while you're talking to me. That's what we're asking for people today. Alan is $1 a week, $52 for the year to clean up the water in the state. That's a small price to pay to make sure that you and your grandchildren can fish and swim in our waterways, isn't it? So what I'd like to do is have you get back with your checkbook. Just keep nodding your head when you're asking for money. It's a non-verbal clue. You should agree with me. What I'm saying is making sense. And I'll get into what the pitch is in just a little bit. So the first circle is close friends. That's where you practice. The second circle is your, I've now asked Mary, my sister, but then I'm going to ask Mary to ask her friends. So I don't have a direct connection. But she knows somebody who knows somebody. It's the second degree of separation. The third tier is anybody who's going to benefit politically from the election, like when you're knocking on your neighbor's doors or other registered Democrats, or somebody who's going to be impacted or disadvantaged by your opponent getting elected.
Like Rick Santorum.
Yes, exactly. The fourth tier is anybody who you think shares your political ideology. So you may be at a fair. How many summer fairs do you have in Pennsylvania? We've had a lot in Ohio. I must have eaten 27 funnel cakes that first summer that I ran a campaign. It was every week, checking out the cows, eating the funnel cakes. Okay, she went, Maggie would go do her speech. Or it was fries with vinegar, which is one of my favorite things, right?
Oh, yeah.
But in those particular fairs, if somebody stops by your booth or your tent to get more information, ask them for money. Look, it costs money to make those buttons. It's actually $1 a piece or 50 cents or whatever it is. And we're asking people to offset that cost and make sure, we can buy 5 more by contributing a small amount of $5 or $10. And this I'm talking about specifically when somebody stops by your booth. By the way, as a side note, anybody ever heard of the term tabling? It's like when you have a table, right, tabling? It's a myth that you're supposed to sit behind a table, by the way. The only point of a table is to have someplace to put your materials and a hard surface for somebody to sign a petition. Don't ever sit behind your table. Don't wait for people to come to you. You're missing opportunities. Organizing is about activism and action. It's not about passively sitting back and waiting for somebody else to take up the pen or come by your table. You gotta be out there saying to people, are you concerned about the environment? Are you concerned about the direction this country's going? Are you concerned about the war in Iraq? Whatever your lead in, whatever your hook is to get people interested, and then you bring them over to the table. You could have 4 of you, 2 of you at the table, 2 people out there bringing people over. I've now just brought Mary and Charlotte over. They're now talking to Linda, and I'm back out over here talking to Alan, and then I bring them over and talk to Warren. And I'm constantly, you have some people that are constantly out there talking with people and organizing them to come back to talk to you.
A lot of times around here, though, that depends on where your table is set up.
Sure.
Because you do have restrictions in a lot of the places around here on how far you can be away from your table.
For electioneering.
You can talk to them as they come by. Like we did. Mm-hmm. Ask them a question. I thought this worked really well. This was actually not a political thing. I was tabling in a booth at Pride Fest for a camping club. And it was a lesbian camping club. So every woman that walked by, I said, hey, how you doing? And they have to answer. Are you a camper? Do you like camping? And then they'd be in the conversation. And we did the same thing with our DFA group last summer. Is your voter registration up to date? And even though we weren't allowed to wander around, shout at them as they go by and ask a question that they had to answer. And then, they have to come over, and then they start looking at the stuff, and maybe they buy a book of sugar.
Right.
Suck them in.
And smiling helps, too. Because if you look friendly, people are going to talk to you. The other thing is, remember, you don't own your face, the rest of the world does, and people have to look at you. So if you're sitting behind your table, you're out talking to somebody, and you want to ask for $52, $1 a week, and you're nodding your head and you're smiling at the same time, because it's a really good idea that you should do that and give me that money. So I'm going to spend it wisely, right? So that the bullseye ring shows you all the different tiers of people that ask for money. And you want to cultivate these lists and look to see, one of the things I would suggest, and again, if you don't have a computer, you can use a piece of paper and a ruler and make a bunch of lines to make a spreadsheet for yourself, or use an Excel spreadsheet on your computer. You have your list, You might have a column for who knows that person who's actually going to ask, and your targeted amount you're going to ask for the contribution. And that's a personal conversation you have with the candidate or among yourselves to see how much you think people can afford.
And the other reason to start with your family if you're a candidate is once you start going outside that circle, the first question you're going to get asked is, who else has given you money? And if your friends and family haven't trusted you enough to give you money, nobody else is going to. It's easy. Really say, well, I've got all my friends, I've loved them to that, they've all given me $20,000. That says a lot more about you than you can ever say about yourself.
Absolutely.
If you can't, if you have a computer but can't afford Microsoft Office, there's OpenOffice.org that you can download an open source software that you can open Microsoft Word and Microsoft Excel.
So this gentleman's saying if you don't have Microsoft Office, if you can't afford it, there's a website called OpenOffice.org where you can click on something and download some of the applications so you can actually use an Excel spreadsheet or a Word document if you can't afford it, don't have the software at home. So then you make up your contact list. And like I said, fundraising is all about cultivating lists. You figure out who's going to talk to the person, how much you're going to ask for. And then you want to look at how much, you know, ultimately, if you know what your budget is and how much you need to run the campaign, and you add up what you're going to ask for from people, is that enough? Because it may not be enough just by the list that you have. And in fact, even though you're asking 100% of the people on that list, do 100% of the people give you money? Like this. No, they don't. You're going to need to ask for about 20 or 30% more than what you think you'll need on the campaign. And particularly if you have a month where you're producing materials or you know you have a big amount to spend, you want to plan for that. That's why to do the month-to-month budget, so that you can see out in the future what you're going to need on a month-to-month basis. So a couple different ways. What are the different ways that you can ask for money? We've talked about some of them. Yes?
I like to ask it. For smaller donations, that it's a monthly donation, like $25 a month.
Very good. Now, one of the things you can do, if you've got the volunteers to set up your website with PayPal, you can set up a way on your website to for your website to take credit cards. Does anybody know can you do that monthly with PayPal?
You can.
So you can set it up to take monthly contributions. Yeah, in Denver, we have something called the Century Club. I can't give $100 at one time, but I could give $10 a month. Over the course of the month. That's, you know, me not getting lunch out or something, you know, not eating a meal out one day that week, or you go to Starbucks, two coffees, right, at Starbucks or something like that. So I can afford to do $10 a month, yeah, so you can absolutely ask for people to pledge over time. Email, face-to-face, the phone, yeah.
How do campaigns find sponsors like this? I mean, does every grassroots, if you're soliciting contributions, what rules do you
Well, you absolutely want to check with the state of Pennsylvania, Secretary of State, to download their campaign finance laws. I can talk to you about Colorado, which is crazy for our campaign finance laws. And if you're working at the state level, that's what you worry about. If you're working at the federal level for a member of Congress, you have to look at FEC laws and federal campaign finance laws. There are limits in the state of Colorado. I can tell you that there's limits for individuals, there's limits for an organization or a PAC. To give to an organization, but is Pennsylvania
no limits?
What's that?
No,
no, your nonprofit no organization.
Nonprofit.
Oh. Individual donation. Are you guys? But are you registered with the Secretary of State?
No.
Okay, so
we are an unincorporated. Association.
You're an unincorporated what?
Association.
All right. Well, if you're going to take contributions, you do need to start having a bank account where you're taking those contributions, and I highly recommend consulting the Secretary of State's website to see what those campaign finance laws are, because it will be determined what type of organization you are. If you're a nonprofit organization, there's no limit. It's tax deductible. You guys are doing it for political work. You're not going to be a nonprofit. You're either going to be a C4, you're going to be an education fund. In Colorado, we have something called 527s. So you have to look to see what type of legal entity you're going to be organized around. If you're working for a candidate, that candidate will know the campaign finance laws. And for sure, if you're working on a candidate's campaign, you want to hire a finance director whose job it is to keep you out of jail as you're asking for donations. So you have to make sure you're accepting only the requisite amount. There's limits, $2,000 the primary, $2,000 in the general for PACs, for organizations. It's $200 for an individual. there's all kinds of laws in Colorado about how much you can give to the state party, the local party. It's a cap of 3,000. So if I give this much to the local party, 1,500, I can only give 1,500 to the state party. So you absolutely need to do your research for all of that. Are there any more questions or comments? Okay, yeah.
Not only can you stay out of jail, but your opponent will use any infraction that you make about campaign finance, even if it's something you stumble onto totally innocently, it could really be used against you. Now, did you mention Fundraise? Is that still a good website to use for that? Fundraise.org, which you put in your zip code and it tells you people who did different candidates.
Never even heard of it. I didn't mention that.
So I've used it like a year ago. It was fabulous. I could see you gave your deep campaign.
I mentioned OpenSecrets.org, but fundraise.org is another good one.
Fundraise.org, yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
Arshad, how much more time do I have?
You need a collection then, so you can take it.
Okay. All right, I'm going to take one more comment, and I'm going to keep moving through the curriculum so that we can get to everything. Yes, sir?
One of the things, Pennsylvania also, county has to have filing requirements on their own.
Counties for what, though?
For political, anything political, you have to file it in county. If you're just running for county.
So if you're saying as an individual, if I'm raising dollars?
If you're working as a club or in a group, you have to file it in county.
So you need to check the county. I would start with the Secretary of State, because they're going to put you to the right organization to look at the campaign finances. Okay, I want to do an exercise with you, all right? You can either do it by yourself or pair up with the person next to you, but I want to show you how easy it is. Begin to create a fundraising list. And I want, actually I'm going to have you pair up, the person behind you, the person next to you, and I want you to reach in your wallets, your backpacks, or your purses, and I want you to find 12 sources where you're going to raise money from, just from your own personal cards, etc. And I want you to write it down. There's a place to write it down. Okay, time's up. Let me hear from a couple people. What'd you find in your wallet? Yes, sir.
My fraternity membership card, so my fraternity goes to that one gives me a thing. So there's you know there but
yeah, fraternity, yes, fraternity membership card. So it's fraternity brothers. What else? What'd you find in your wallet? Yes, sir.
Concert ticket.
Yeah, it's a great place when people are staging in line. To get into the concert, you have a captive audience. I used to work movie theater lines all the time to talk to people about my issues and to raise money because people are waiting in line. Like in D.C., in Washington, D.C., there was one big theater, and like when Star Wars opened, and there was oodles of people in their Star Wars regalia dressed up like at 4 a.m. in the morning waiting for their seat to get into the movie. I had hours to work that line.
And you knew they were all Democrats?
I got signatures, I got money, I cast out buttons.
Our movie theaters tend to be in shopping centers, not on the street, so
you can't do that. Okay, well, if you can't do it there, then for sure you can look at other places where you have a captive audience.
Did you?
Yes, sir.
Did you avoid talking to the Darth Vaders because knowing they were
no,
Republicans?
I like James Earl Jones. Oh. I think he's kind of a good guy. So. Did you hear your hand up, sir?
No.
Who else? What was in your wallet? Yes, sir.
Ben. Arts Council card. Their number is on. The Arts Council. Who are my friends who I think
would contribute to you? Yes, ma'am, in the orange shirt.
I had business cards
from DemFest. Say that
one more time. I had
business cards from DemFest. Are you in exchange? Yeah, absolutely. They know you're talking to them. Yes, ma'am.
People who can afford massages, manicures, and hairdressers, those people who come in and they can afford that, they can afford to give you some money.
Okay, yeah. And how about your hairstylist? How about the person that you go to for a massage or you go to for a manicure? Your voice teacher, your French language teacher. Yes, sir. People in your address book, yeah.
Alumni
from your college, absolutely. Yes, ma'am. Health source. And did you find that in your wallet?
Yeah, for the card for health store.
Card for health store. Okay, great. And the back side. Yeah, with the hat. Until you get caught.
Yeah.
They ask you to move along, and you just very nicely move to some other place on the platform where they don't see you. Yeah, absolutely. Yes, yeah, right.
I've got a lot of connections with people I've met at different training
Yeah.
I found this one part in Chris Warshaw.
I encourage you to give him a call.
Okay, great. All right, so then one final thing, and I'll be talking more about this. Is it this afternoon or tomorrow afternoon?
Tomorrow
afternoon, an extension of the fundraising workshop. And I want to touch on it briefly because we've run out of time. Now that you have your list, what do you say? Right? What do you say? What we were giving that workshop is actually helping you develop your pitch. There's five key elements in the introduction. My name is Jennifer Kogan. I'm with Pennsylvania for Democracy. Number two, what's the problem? Rick Santorum sucks. That's the problem, right? Rick Santorum is an embarrassment to the state. What's the solution? We want him out of office and we want to replace him with a good Democrat or whoever your candidate is. And what's the urgency? And then the final thing is, what are you asking for? So it's those five things. You want one sentence for each one. Introduction, problem, solution, urgency, and ask. And if you can do all that in 30 to 60 seconds, I'm not going to tell you to only use 27 words. But that's going to be your ask for every single person. And you may tweak the problem and the solution depending on who you're talking to. And we'll be talking about that at the workshop tomorrow afternoon. And if you want to do it as homework, I'll be around today or tomorrow and come up to me. It's in your workbook. Yeah, it's absolutely in your workbook, page 55, I think.
Yeah.
Making the pitch. Problem, intro, problem, urgency, ask. And then it should be intro, problem, solution, urgency, and then your ask, what you're asking them to do. Give money, donate time, whatever it is. And like I said, I'll be around all weekend, so if you want to try one out on me, I'm a hard sell. Let me know. Thanks.
Thank you.